Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you so much, Dave, and welcome aboard the show on the, 15th of December? 10 days! And look, I don't know how you feel, but this is the way I feel. I don't want to be seeing a whole lot of folks saying at this point in time, oh, last-minute sale, last-minute gifts. I'll tell you what last-minute is, okay? December 24th. That would be last-minute. Please. These people who boast about, oh, I got all my Christmas shopping done in September. I just want to smack them silly. But we're going to be more positive than that today. Chuck Redd is with us. I am so excited. I have known about Chuck for a while because he is beloved in the Washington, D.C. area and even beyond. One of the busiest drummers and vibraphonists on this planet or any other. He is booked until 2013. He's coming up next hour, and then he's going to run off to Blues Alley. He is something else, and I'll tell you specifically why he is going to be with us today. It's a really exciting reason. We've got all sorts of good tunes, including one that's coming up a little bit later on that I just found out this morning was written as a kind of holiday risque song, but I had no idea. With that, I'm going to give you Stanley Jordan, just one of the stellar songs and guys, artists, gals, whoever is in the galaxy that turned out tremendous music this year. This is from Friends. Love this song. The Katy Perry song, I Kissed a Girl, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Is that you, Santa Claus? It's time preparing for some Christmas sharing, but I pause because hang in my stockings, I can hear a knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus? Sure is dark out, ain't the slightest spark out on my clacking jaws. Who's there? Who is it? Stopping for a visit? Is that you, Santa Claus? Are you bringing a present for me? Something pleasantly pleasant for me. That is just what I've been waiting for. Would you mind slipping it under the door? Oh, winds are howling. Or could that be growling? My legs feel like stars. Yeah, my, oh me, my. Kindly, will you reply? Is that you, Santa Claus? Yes, hang in the stocking, I can hear a knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus? For a visit. Is that you, Santa Claus? Oh, that Santa, you gave me a scare. Now stop teasing, cause I know you're there. We don't believe in no goblins today, but I can't explain why I'm shaking that way. Then I can see old Santa in the keyhole. I'll get to the car. One peek and I'll try there. Oh, there's an eye there. Is that you, Santa Claus? Please, please, I paid him my knees. Say, that's you, Santa Claus.
Oh, I just love that holiday sound from Louis Armstrong. Is that you, Santa Claus? Oh, yes, as my good friend Griselda has just said in the chat room, you can just hear that smile come across on the mic, can't you? That particular track is on so many compilations, I can't even tell you. The ones that I have seen most recently are Swingin' Christmas, and let me tell you, that particular one, that compilation, Fats Waller, Benny Goodman, Woody Herman, Ella, Louis Prima, man, it's good stuff. Also, Moments to Remember, you can find it there, 1952 to 1956. We're going to be playing extremely new and extremely old songs today. Not a lot that's fallen into the cracks, but that's okay because, you know what, it's this time of year. Every song seems like a gift. And some of the non-holiday songs even seem like holiday songs. They just sound differently this time of year. You know, I was thinking about this because I have had this conversation with Slim Man a number of times, one of his favorite artists in the world and who he was greatly inspired by is Louis Armstrong. And I saw a book one year. There's a few out there about Louis. And I wanted to pass a couple on to you for holiday gift giving because you talk about a fascinating life. This man was born of a 16-year-old slave, grew up in New Orleans in the brothels around prostitution, around some really shady characters. How he grew to be a goodwill ambassador and had his really cool mentorship side, and the other side of him was quirky to the extreme. He would wax poetically about laxatives, and he would wax equally poetically about marijuana, one for the head, one for the bowels. Actually, that was his philosophy. He was something else. Here are those books. One is Louis Armstrong, An Extravagant Life by Lawrence, Bergreen? Right. And there's another, Satchmo, The Genius of Louis Armstrong. There are just a couple, and there are more, but some get better reviews than others. He's one of those folks that we need to revere for as long as we have breath. That's how important he was. Duke Ellington actually said about him, he was Mr. Jazz. That's pretty cool. We heard Hiroshima, woohoo, from Legacy, all the retooled songs from their 20-plus years in existence. What a group. Oh, HiroshimaMusic.com if you want to know more. That was Hawaiian Electric. Just love that. 1223, they are going to be at Anthology in San Diego with former Hiroshima lead singer Terry Steele. And this is really cool. If you join the community online, you're going to receive $2 off their brand new CD called Departure. That's going to be coming out in January. And if you're fortunate enough to go to this Anthology event happening in the next several days, well, you're going to hear a sneak preview. Just as we heard a couple of months ago at Ram's Head in Annapolis, man, it was just so awesome to hear what they've got cooking. After all these years, their creativity is just still so high. I'll never forget Dan Kuramoto on the show, and hopefully we'll get him back here again. To start the set, we heard from Stanley Jordan from his Friends CD released just this year, I Kissed a Girl. Stanley, something else. On that particular track, he was playing the keyboard and the guitar. I don't know how he does it. I know that my friend Joy Hall has seen him do this. I'll get a chance to when he comes to Blues Alley doing a solo gig in March. So that's going to be something else. He is just one of those beyond creative kinds of guys that likes to work by himself, essentially. But man, on this Friends CD, he had Bucky Pizzarelli, Mike Stern, Russell Malone, Regina Carter, Kenny Garrett, Ronnie Laws, and a few others. Since 1985, he's just been cooking. And now, guess what? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, because daughter Julia Jordan, if you go to juliajordanmusic.com, she's got a new song out called Making Change about the Occupy movement in America. Stanley is very, very proud of her. And by the way, folks, in Cali tonight, you know about the Catalina Bar and Grill. Tonight, Stanley's going to be there, and that's through Friday. Go to the new website. He's got a brand new feel to it. You'll be thrilled. Let's turn our attention to another guest that we had on the show, actually on Cool Jazz Conversations a couple of months ago. It just seems like yesterday. And had a chance to see her at Ram's Head this year, too. We were really fortunate to see some great music. She always turns out great music. Keiko Matsui. Beautiful CD, The Road, ... And she will tell you that ... is very important. We're about to hear Touching Peace, which seems appropriate this time of year. Chuck Redd joins us next hour on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Good stuff. Thank you.
Everything we need
such a beautiful song to play just about now, before this year ends. Woo! If that was the story, if that is the story with you, you are blessed beyond measure. The perfect year. That's from a gal who was huge in her home place of the United Kingdom, Dina Carroll. The song was written by Andrew Lloyd Webber from Sunset Boulevard. How about that? Now, Dina, interesting girl, born in 1968 in the back of a taxi cab. I kid you not. Just this beautiful hybrid of Scots and African blood. And man, she's had some up and downs in her career. I don't know what she's doing these days, but in the late 80s to the early 2000s, she ruled. She had some hits in the UK, and if you go back to 1993, there is So Close, and then in 1996, Only Human, where you'll find The Perfect Year. She had some conflicts with record companies, and on top of all that, she developed otosclerosis, which is a bone disease affecting your ears. So I'm not exactly sure. I know she got married, and I know that she settled down. I haven't heard a word of anything that she might be doing recently, but you hear her voice. And then when you see some videos that are circulating on YouTube, she's just so beautiful. She's got this angelic voice that soars, and I just wish everything was okay with her, because, man, we need to hear those kinds of voices these days. Dina Carroll, The Perfect Year. Nate Najjar, his take on the beautiful song that was just taken to a new dimension by Michael Jackson, Human Nature. Oh, my God, my favorite Michael Jackson song ever. Nate loved that song, too. That's from his Until Now CD. Nate is a busy guy, and one of the reasons why I was so excited about playing him today was because he's done some work with Chuck Redd, who you're going to hear next hour, and they were just at Germano's Trattoria in Little Italy in Baltimore, in my region of the world, and they just did such a great job, and they like to delve into Charlie Byrd territory, one of the great guitar players of all time. And you can hear that Nate had his heart and soul in that particular tune. If you are in the, Riverside, California area, Nate is going to be with Greg Manning, Saturday, right. And then on the 20th, Spaghettini's in Seal Beach. So you have something to look forward to in California. We have to wait a little bit longer for him to get back to this neck of the woods. And, of course, he's always playing in and about his home state of Florida. So there you go. USO shows, too. I wanted to tell you about that. He's going to be doing several of them in 2012, as well as that new album coming out earlier in the year. So hopefully we'll have Nate on this show. He was on Cool Jazz Conversations, but we like to share our guests. We heard, too, Keiko Matsui. She's going to be at Blues Alley in April. Yes. We heard Touching Peace from The Road, .. She is at home now in Tokyo. She's going to be playing a gig tonight, then Nagoya, then Osaka, then Hiroshima. And if you're looking for a little gift-giving this time of year and you want to pick up The Road, do that. But don't forget Altar and Vega from Bob James and Keiko, released just this past September, in the piano tradition of four hands. It is breathtakingly beautiful. And if you get a chance to see Keiko this coming year, that sounds weird to say, doesn't it? This coming year. We're just a few weeks short of 2012, and we'll say adieu to 2011. 2012. That's right, isn't it? Man, this new decade is really tripping me up. Not this song, though. Are you ready for this? Santana, Posada, Pilgrimage in Bethlehem on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. You'll love this. We'll be right back. is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney. Boo, boo. Poor me.
Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney. Stuck in my chimney. Stuck in my chimney. Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney when he came last year.
Poor Santa Claus.
Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney, stuck in my chimney, stuck in my chimney. Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney. He won't come back, I fear. There he was in the middle of the chimney, roly-poly, fat and round. There he was in the middle of the chimney, not quite up and not quite down. Santa, please come back to my chimney, back to my chimney, back to my chimney. Santa, please come back to my chimney. You can come back here.
Cause Daddy made a brand new chimney
just for you this year.
Oh, Ella is a little girl who's trying to be good.
Yet I find that things don't always turn out as they should.
Why, just last waited up for Santa to drop by.
But I nearly missed him, and here's the reason why. Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney, stuck in my chimney, stuck in my chimney. Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney when he came last year.
Santa Claus
got stuck in my chimney, stuck in my chimney, stuck in my chimney. Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney. He won't come back, I fear. There he was in the middle of the chimney, roly-poly, fat and round. There he was in the middle of the chimney, not quite up and not quite down. Santa, please come back to my chimney, back to my chimney, back to my chimney. Santa, please come back to my chimney. You can come back here, 'cause Daddy made a brand new chimney just for you this year.
Santa Claus, come on down the chimney. Please come back this year.
Yes, sirree, Bobaroon Day. Ella Fitzgerald, Santa Claus got stuck in the chimney. You know, I really, really liked that song a whole lot. And now I have mixed feelings about it because, all right. Now, if you were a fan of the TV show when it was on, Ally McBeal, apparently that's a big fat joke, is that song. I took it to mean, in my innocent way, I think that I took it the same way Ella took it when she recorded it. She was in her 30s at the time. What was it, 1950 or so? And apparently, the writers of the song, William Hardy and Billy Moore, did not necessarily have the innocent intent that we took from the song. So I'll let your mind wander a little bit on that, and I know that it was beyond wandering on Ally McBeal, but suffice it to say, I have some conflict about the song now. I just loved it. And you can find it on the aforementioned Swingin' Christmas CD that I mentioned. That's where you can find Louis Armstrong's That You, Santa Claus? Fortunately, there's no mixed signals with that song. And you can find, actually, this particular song on, I don't think a compilation you can find anymore. Ella Fitzgerald, 1950 CD import from France, digitally remastered with a whole bunch of great songs. Ella, God bless her. Oh, man. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when she found out about the significance of the other meaning of that particular tune. We heard Otmar Liebert, Deck the Halls. What an interesting guy this is. German-born composer and guitarist with a Chinese dad and a Hungarian mom and a decidedly flamenco style of guitar playing. He is just so cool. He's living in Santa Fe, New Mexico now, where I was once and never got over it. Oh, talk about absolutely gorgeous. Five-time Grammy nominated, 25 albums, gold and platinum certified in the U.S. and other countries, and in 2006 was ordained a Zen monk. I love that. And then he has been leading this ensemble called Luna Negra, Black Moon, since 1989. And here's how he got started. I just love this. Back in 1989, he had the wherewithal to get this independent CD out and about to a friend of his at an art gallery in Santa Fe. So the owner of the art gallery had the CD out, and it just created this buzz locally. Some radio stations heard about the buzz, picked it up, and Otmar Liebert has been going strong ever since. And it's his name is spelled OTTMARLIEBERT.com. You will find out all sorts of wondrous things. And actually, that first CD was called, let's see, I know that we just heard Deck the Halls, and that's from Poets and Angels from 1990. But back in 1989, that Nuevo Flamenco style that you heard is also the name of the debut CD. Yeah, so cool. Santana, we heard to start the set, and I'm just so tickled that Carlos Santana, at the age of 64, is going strong, strong. Posada, Pilgrimage to Bethlehem from Ultimate Christmas 2. It's on a couple of other CDs as well, notably Holiday Sounds of the Season 2001. And I'm just tickled to know that I went to the site today. Carlos, starting tomorrow, is doing ticket sales for three huge Mexico shows that are going to be happening in March. That will be exciting news for folks who are fans of Carlos and for fans of his new wife, Cindy Blackman. She is going to be, love this, at Le Poisson Rouge in New York City in early 2012, and she's going to be at Blues Alley, yay, Washington, D.C., in February. So if you are a fan of one of the most exquisite drummers, strong, strong, tough drummer. She's just so breathtaking to watch, those strong Michelle Obama arms doing her thing. I love Cindy Blackman, and not as much as Carlos, but that's a whole different story. We're going to have to delve into the jazz side of Carlos Santana in 2012, because he's just he's hungry to do it. There's something about Carlos. He's just hungry to explore more of those roots, and I'm just tickled about that. Tickled, too, that we're going to have Chuck Redd coming up momentarily, and I thought we would play a track from Chuck's amazing Common Thread CD. Chuck is not only a drummer, but a vibraphonist, and he is in such demand. I'm just thrilled, because there's more to some of these local and regional artists than meets the eye. We all know that, I think, because certainly I've been ringing the bell for Baltimore for a while, Washington, D.C., and Philly, too. This is Chuck Redd doing his thing on the Common Thread, Witchcraft, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy. Thank you. and gentlemen, that is how it is done, okay? That is how it's done. That is what you call witchcraft. And it happens to be the title of the song, too. Oh, my goodness. Chuck Redd and some company there, but I think he can do it all by himself, truly. Drummer, vibraphonist, I'm just going to boast on him for a little bit. I know he's hanging. And I know he's going to be saying, oh, my God, she's just going on. I just want to give you a little bit of background about this man. Joined the Charlie Bird Trio at 21 in 1980, has been going strong ever since. Same year, 1980, he joined great guitars, Barney Kessel, Charlie Bird, Herb Ellis. 13 tours in Europe, 5 in Japan under his belt, has done his thing with Terry Gibbs, Tommy Flanagan, Dizzy Gillespie, Ray Brown, Dr. Billy Taylor, Lorindo Almeida. It goes on and on. Red Norvo. I've got a Red Norvo 78 in my library in the back room. This man has done so much with so many people. And honestly, I can tell you, it's pretty rare to see any artist that is booked until 2013. Chuck Redd is, and I think you just heard a reason why. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Chuck Redd. There he is.
Hey, Trish, how are you?
I'm good. To hear your perky little voice, I'm even better.
It's great to hear yours, too.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, Chuck. Honestly, I was so astounded to see your tour schedule for 2012 into 2013. No wonder you sound so happy, because, honey, you're working.
I'm very happy. I feel very fortunate to be booked so far in advance, and to have so many great gigs. I'm playing with a lot of great friends and a lot of great musicians over the next 14 or 15 months. And it's really a lot of things have paid off recently. Things are just going really, really well.
And what do, you probably have a couple of specifics in mind when you say that. When you say a couple of things have paid off recently, what do you mean? Can you say? Because I know what I can say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in general, I would say, over the last, say, 10 or 15 years, I think many years of developing as a musician have paid off, and I feel like I'm playing better than I've ever played, and I'm enjoying music more than ever in my life. I think one thing is youthful enthusiasm, but, I'm a little over 50, and I've been doing it for a long time, and I feel great. I'm in great health, and, everything's going well, and you get to a point when you've developed all these years that you have a perspective and a sense of refinement, I think, that only comes with age and experience, and of course you never stop learning. But then in a more practical sense, my association with Arbor's Records, the label that I record for, I've done now, 3 recordings as a leader, and those have done very well. They've gotten lots of airplay, and that's afforded me a lot of opportunities to play around the country, not only with other people, but as a headliner, and to do a lot of festivals as a featured artist, and I've got a lot of that kind of thing on the books for the next few months, and jazz cruises. So those are the kind of things that have paid off for me.
Yeah, well, look, I'm a lot over 50, and I think that there comes a certain time, maybe for me it was certainly a spiritual journey, and it continues to be because I'm really hungry to develop more spiritually, but there comes a certain peace that people have. And sometimes when you can hear somebody play, and I'm talking about you, there is such a joy. You know that somebody was absolutely joyous in playing
that's so
this
nice
number.
Well, that's the biggest compliment I could get from anyone, especially someone who's open and who is sensitive and who's a good listener, as you obviously are. And, that's what drew me to music to begin with. I mean, those the kind of people that influenced me, that reached me on a deep level when I was coming up, are the people that had that in their playing. And there are certain musicians that influenced me profoundly, the great Milt Jackson, the great vibraphone player, Tommy Flanagan, Oscar Peterson. These are people that just, the first time I heard them, it was you know, kind of, they were searing moments in my life. They were little epiphanies. You know, I remember first hearing, I mean, even Frank Sinatra, Buddy Rich. You know, Buddy Rich was not known as maybe the nicest guy in the world, but
right.
He had a deep sense of passion in his playing and joy in his playing and the music. And actually, you know, that came through very clearly, you know, and many, many other musicians that are too many to mention, but that's really the element, just what we touched on. You know, we went right to the heart of the matter. A lot of people talk about technique and virtuosity and you know, all the technical aspects of making music, but really it's that joy and fun that we have when we play. And sometimes it does take years to get to the point where you can just let that all out, because you do have to develop technically, but that's really
sure.
What it's all about, is having a great time and connecting with the other musicians and with your audience.
Well, obviously, you've connected with quite a few people. In just looking at, I guess you could say, your resume, just so cool that you were the artist in residence at the Smithsonian Jazz Cafe in D.C.,
right.
And a big part of the W.C. Handy Music Festival. I just love that. And I love the fact, because I never knew this, Chuck, that you are, again, going to be part of this annual Christmas Day Jazz Jam at the Kennedy Center. Tell me about that.
I've been doing
that
for about, maybe 10 or 12 years now. I started that with the great bass player, Keeter Betts, 10 or 12 years ago. And then we lost Keeter 6 or 7 years ago. And I kind of inherited that as the leader. And my brother helps me out on that too, Robert Redd, great piano player.
Yes.
And we play that with Dolores King Williams, Tom Williams, and Lenny Robinson and James King. And it's really been a huge success. I mean, I think the Kennedy Center wasn't quite sure how a Christmas Day concert would be, you know, at 6 p.m. But as it turns out, a lot of people are ready to get out of the house by then.
Yes,
you know, they've done the whole Christmas thing and they've had a great time with their families, and then they want to get out and do something. And sometimes we get, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 people down there on Christmas Day. It's
get
amazing.
Out, really? That many?
Yeah, I mean the foyer of the Kennedy Center is pretty much a sea of people that day. It's kind of amazing.
So I guess you don't have to ever worry about folks, you know, as far as wanting to jam. There's people who are spectators and people who want to jam. I guess you have more than enough of those folks rolling through, too.
Well, you know, it's called the Christmas Day Jazz Jam. It's not technically open. It's not a wide-open jam session.
Gotcha. Okay.
It would be... We might get in big trouble with you know, way too many people if we did that. But I usually, you know, or I often try to bring in some sort of guest, either some young musicians, some college age musicians, to come up and play in a couple of numbers. You know, we set that up ahead of time, and I give it a lot of thought and try to figure out who we're going to present, you know, to come up and play. But other than that, it's really a concert, a jazz concert that we put on, and we play some, you know, Christmas music, and then again, people have had really kind of had their fill of Christmas music by Christmas Day, so we kind of morph the Christmas music into some straight ahead jazz things too.
I love that. Oh my gosh,
yeah.
That is so cool. And you mentioned your brother, and the reason why you are specifically on the show today, I'm really excited about this because, you know, you don't know this, but a few folks, and by the way, the chat room is really active and enjoying the music. They really...
Great.
Yes. So we're going to have a couple more tracks. Germano's Trattoria in Little Italy is where you're going to be with your brother on Friday.
I absolutely will be. Actually, it's on Saturday.
Is it?
Wait, let me look here. Let me double
check. Okay, today's the 15th, right?
Yeah, hold on just a second here.
Okay. I thought it was the 17th.
Let me see. But...
this is great.
Yeah,
we'll
talk about a spontaneous
right.
moment. I'm sorry I'm so busy here. But you know what? It is Saturday. It is definitely
Saturday.
And
okay.
I was, let me just double check here.
Okay. And it's okay because, you know, I just, in my scenario with going back and forth and multitasking on a given day, I thought I double-checked with Germanos and looked at their wall, but I could have looked mistakenly. And you can't keep up with your schedule because I don't know how you know you're coming and going from one day to the next.
I know. Some weeks, like this is one of those weeks where I'm kind of going day to day because it's just – I teach at University of Maryland.
Yes.
And then I'm playing tonight at Blues Alley with Eric Felton's big band playing the Ellington Nutcracker music, which is great.
Oh, fabulous.
And then I have the whole weekend booked. But let's see, I'm on their website and I'm trying to find out how to get to calendar of events. There we go.
Yep.
And here we go. And it looks like
ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Drum roll, please.
Yes.
December 17th, which is, what night is that?
Okay. Today, is today not the 15th?
Let's see.
Okay. Today
is
Thursday.
The 15th, the 17th is Saturday.
It is Saturday.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Tomorrow is the 16th and then Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. So
that
you can breathe
for
now.
Just a second, because I have... Tomorrow night I'm playing with Maurice Hines, so I've got to be there.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, just to drop a name, but he's, you know, he's the brother of Gregory Hines, great
dancer. Oh, how well I know. Listen.
Yeah, and Maurice is a fantastic entertainer and just finished an incredible run last summer at the Lincoln Theater here in D.C. of Sophisticated Ladies, and he was fantastic in that show. We saw him. I took my family and we saw him. It was great.
Oh, listen, you do not have to tell me about Maurice Hines because
right.
Back in the day, I mean, I remember the Hines, and Dad back on
right.
the Sullivan Show.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And listen, I had such a crush on Gregory Hines. I still do. I still
uh-huh.
mourn him. If he was around, I would be a stalker.
Yeah, well, he was a handsome guy and a charming guy. I didn't know him personally, but wow, what a presence. He and his brother, they just both had to have this electricity, you know, on stage. They're really wonderful. And you know, Gregory was a wonderful entertainer,
yes.
And Maurice continues to go strong.
And where will you be with Maurice? I'm so curious.
It's actually it's a show at a very nice retirement community in D.C. on MacArthur Boulevard called Grand Oaks. I think it's open to the public. Maybe I should
wow.
talk about it, but I'm pretty sure it's open to the public tomorrow night. I did a show there with him this past summer, and it was really a lot of fun. But he's doing a holiday show there tomorrow night.
I am so glad that he is still doing his thing and still thriving and creative
yeah.
and energetic. That's wonderful news.
Yeah, he's doing just great. But if I may talk a little bit more about Germanos.
Please.
Because I've played there about three or four times now, and our lovely hostess, Sid Wolf, who presents the music there, does a fantastic job of presenting the music and, you know, thinking about the kind of programs she wants. She kind of handpicks the artist that she has play there, and it's a delightful room. It's just a
yes.
really, really fantastic little cabaret room upstairs at Germanos. They have great lighting, great sound, a wonderful piano, and the food is great there. I recommend the Bronzino, fantastic. And I've enjoyed playing there the handful of times I've worked there, and this Saturday we're doing our my brother Robert and I are playing our holiday show, so we'll be doing tunes that we actually play often at Blues Alley on Christmas from our Red Christmas show. We have a whole Christmas program and throw in a couple of standards as well, and we take some requests, and if anyone likes what they hear from the recordings you're playing, we'd be happy to play a couple of those tunes as well. So that's 7:30 this Saturday at Germanos.
And I have to say, you know, the price is right on this, because $20 is absolutely fabulous for a show of this caliber. And to see it in a setting like this where the food is, and my goodness, having been there once to see Amy Shook and company, the Fab Trio, it was just off the chain. The people were so gracious.
Isn't it cozy and wonderful? And there's not a bad seat in the house. And it's just really exciting to have a place like that. It's kind of reminiscent of, it kind of feels a little bit like the Carlisle in New York, you know, where Bobby Short used to play. It's got that kind of cozy, elegant feel.
I'm so tickled that they have made it a point to book the kinds of jazz acts that they have. They get a little eclectic, but honestly, it's mostly jazz that they book. And if you say Sid is doing this by hand, I am so proud that this is happening in Baltimore. We really need to have rooms like this more and more.
Absolutely, I agree. I've played in Baltimore over the years, and it's often been a struggle. And I mean, I've played there kind of my whole career on and off, you know, concerts with Charlie Bird. And then have you lived in Baltimore for many years, Trish?
Chuck, this is, it's almost like silly for me to say this. And at this point, I certainly have no pride. I'm a Philly girl. But this is my adopted home. I have actually gone away and come back to Baltimore 3 times.
Wow, that's great. Well, Baltimore and Philly are two of the great East Coast cities, you know, and
absolutely
close together. But there was a club in the 80s called Ethel's, which Ethel ran. I don't know if you remember it, but it was a nice club that lasted a couple of years, and she brought in world class acts. But it struggled, and it was really hard to keep it going. And then right after that, in the same room, Blues Alley, the Washington establishment, came in there and opened up Blues Alley Baltimore, and kind of had the same results. They booked all kinds of world-class people, and then it just unfortunately had to close its doors after a couple of years. So really, you know, and then there are a couple of other venues that we know about in Baltimore, but I think it really needs, the city really needs something like the room that Sid is doing right now up there at Germano's. It's really a great place.
Yeah, and I think that things are boding well. I'll have to get your take on this, Chuck, about, you know, 2012. I really do see signs of hope that
I do too.
The economy is recovering in such a way that the folks who are taking chances are seeing returns on the chances.
Right,
and,
absolutely.
You think so, too?
Yeah, I really do. And, you know, there's been I think this is in the spirit of the economy itself and how we're all kind of in this together. And also, and this is my little perspective and my little corner of the world. But, you know, I think also the way the music business has been going, just all the technological changes and, you know, the changes in the world of jazz in general over the last, say, 20 years, I think the prevailing attitude is, and this is my attitude, I think the attitude is that we all work together, you know, the people that are passionate about great music and great jazz, we're all kind of working together. I try to work with club owners and promoters and presenters to make it possible to let events happen. You know, it's no longer kind of management against labor or musicians against, you know, against promoters and club owners, which is kind of how it was for many years, where there was always a struggle and tension and negotiating. Now I think we're all working together, and you know, sometimes that means that not everyone makes quite as much money, but we keep it going and we keep it alive and build on that. And I think it is building. I think it's working.
Yeah, I think so too. And to add a piece to what you've just said, I hear more and more that artists are absolutely demanding of their own work that they no longer are satisfied with any kind of drum machines or artificial sounds. They want that live in-studio sound. They want to get back to authentic music. And that's translating into people wanting to hear what they heard on disc. They want to see live in rooms. And even though we don't have the radio stations to play the jazz 24/7 as we did, I think that's going to change too.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I really do too. And, you know, and the internet, all like all technology, there's an upside and a downside. And
yes.
Like this is one great example where the internet is serving us very well. People that love jazz, people that are doing what you're doing, and you're playing our music, and you know, all of that has helped me. You know, YouTube and just having an internet presence has really helped my career over the last 12 years or so.
That's great.
And I think you know, and that's wonderful. And the thing you're talking about with people demanding live, real music.
Yes.
I think that's so important. I was in New York this past weekend, and I ran into a gentleman who's he's subbing simultaneously on about 4 Broadway shows. And he told me about how a couple of the orchestras on these shows are, you know, 25 and 30 piece orchestras, that's really good, because about 12 years ago, a lot of the producers of Broadway shows were trying to pare it down to fewer and fewer musicians. And I think a lot of jazz musicians in New York City make their real bread and butter living playing shows and then play the jazz gigs that are visible to all of us and do the records. But they make their money playing shows, and they earn pension money and all that. So it's very important that the public doesn't settle for recorded music when they go to see a Broadway show or a Broadway type show anywhere, you know, in Baltimore and Washington, anywhere. It's very important.
Yeah, and you know, this is getting to be pretty deep, but I really believe this. I think that to a certain extent, we were in this state of being smug, and then September the 11th rolled around.
Right.
2001.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has fragmented. It has morphed into this situation where I feel it this holiday season in particular. And my son even said it last night. He said, you know, I'm not even feeling, it doesn't even matter to me about getting anything. I just want to feel Christmas.
Yeah, well, that's a very good place to be.
Yeah, and I think people are really feeling that en masse. They want to feel what music has in the way of healing anew.
Right.
They want to hear people play. They want to know that you're enjoying playing. They want to go to an event and forget about everything and just be in that moment where you can take everything away and they'll leave changed people because of you.
Right. I mean, I think we've all had that experience. I know I can remember, well, I had that experience all the time, you know, on at least a weekly basis, even if I'm in a down mood and I don't feel like doing anything and I'm not motivated to practice and I know I need to, I'll listen to something great on my iPod for 10 minutes and I'm a changed person. And I'll go downstairs.
Yeah.
And go down and practice for 3 hours because I'm inspired. You know, it happens. I mean, music is really magical that way. And I think Art Blakey said, music should wash the dust of the day away when people come to hear us. You know,
that's exactly right. Yeah,
and that's,
I
and
love
that's
that.
What it, that's what it usually does. You know, people, it is important. It's so important. It is much more important than getting physical gifts. You know, I really think so.
Well, just to have the shared experience of going to an event, you know, this past year we've been really blessed to have gone to see significant people play. And these are the kinds of things that you take with you, you know, years later. You remember the music events that you went to and how different artists touch you in such a way. You know, there's going to be people coming to this Blues Alley event tonight and they are going to be in such a frame of mind, you'll actually feel that physically because they're so pent up and excited, and they don't want to be depressed anymore. They don't want to feel despondent. They want to feel hopeful about the future. You've got a big responsibility. Do you feel that sometimes?
You know what? It does feel like a responsibility about 10 or 15 minutes before I go up on the bandstand to play. And then as soon as I start to play, if the audience is in that situation, I get the energy back from them, and I think all the musicians do, and it becomes this, you know, circular thing, and you feed off of each other, and sometimes you can just, it's like having a conversation where someone says something that inspires you or makes you smile, then the other person says something and lifts both of you up a little bit higher, and next thing you know, you've connected, and it's a great experience, and that's what happens. So it's two ways. It definitely goes two ways, and it's invigorating. For you know, it really is uplifting. I mean, anytime I'm ever feeling sick, even physically sick, the old motto, the show must go on.
Right.
And everybody wonders why the show must go on, but it's mainly because you need to do the show in order to get paid. As soon as I start playing, and most musicians I know feel this way, as soon as you start playing, all the pain or whatever you're feeling is gone for that, you know, hour and 10 minutes that you're playing your set. It's just gone. And then you can leave the gig and go get, you know, feel sick again, you know, but it's kind of amazing that way, you know, and it's there's magic there somehow. I'm not sure how it all works, but the audience gives it to us. So
that's so neat to hear. And here's something I wanted to know from you. What came first for you? How is it that, you know, the way that someone introduces you is drummer and vibraphonist? What came first for you?
The drums. I started playing drums. I always wanted to play drums from the time I was very, very small. And I played, you know, on the proverbial pots and pans and whatever I could get my hands on around the house. And so my father gave me a snare drum when I was 10.
Hmm.
And I started taking lessons and played drums all through school. And kind of started playing professionally when I was about 18. And then it was shortly before then. I was in my senior year of high school, and I heard a Milt Jackson record. I had heard some other vibraphone players growing up, just, you know, and I thought it was kind of interesting and fun. And then I heard this Milt Jackson record from a Modern Jazz Quartet album, and a teacher played it for me in high school, and it changed my life. I immediately needed to go down to the band room and try to make some of those sounds. It was just, I'll never forget it. It was one of those moments that it just stays with you forever. And that kind of lit the spark. And I didn't really get serious about the vibes until 5 or 6 years later, maybe. And then I started in my mid-20s. I started, somebody hired me for a gig on vibes, and then I took it a little more seriously. And then by my mid-20s, I was really kind of trying to become a vibraphone player. And then a couple of big opportunities came when I got hired to play with Mel Torme, as he was using a vibes player.
Amazing.
That was a great, great experience. And I played with him for on and off for 5 years. And in the meantime, I was also working with Charlie Bird's trio, and I had been his drummer for about the first 10 or 12 years that I was with him. And then he slowly started having me just play vibes with the trio, which he had never done. Before I started doing that, he had only used drums with his trio. He'd never had a vibraphonist before me.
Huh.
So I was very flattered, you know, that he started using me on vibes. So that's kind of how it happened. And now I do both, and I feel, you know, I feel confident on both instruments. I mean, for a long time I felt like I was an experienced drummer and a novice vibraphone player, but they kind of catch up with each other. So,
and I actually had a little bit of a dream. I have been dreaming these unusual dreams lately, and Stanley Jordan was a guest on the other show that I do, Cool Jazz Conversations, and I know that Stanley is going to be playing Blues Alley in the early part of the year, and it's going to be a solo gig, which means that he will be playing he will be playing guitar and piano at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So I actually had a dream, knowing that you were going to be on the show, I had this visual of you playing the vibes and the drums at the same time.
That hasn't happened yet, but you never know. It may happen.
That's right.
sometimes
wow.
What I do, if I'm playing a ballad on the vibes and I finish, if I've got both instruments there, you know, if I've just played some drums and then I stand up and play the vibes, sometimes when I play a ballad, at the end, at the last chord, I'll turn around and hit my cymbal with the mallet just to give a nice little shimmer at the very end. But that's as close as I get to playing both at the same time.
It would be a little tricky in this particular case.
Yeah, they're large instruments.
Yes, very much so. Oh, my gosh. And listen, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm very aware of your time because it didn't occur to me until a few days ago that you're going to play Blues Alley tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure I play one song now and
okay.
have you on the horn, come
okay.
back to you after the song, and we'll wrap it up so you can get a head start into playing tonight.
That sounds great, Trish. I'll hang on here then.
Okay, very cool. Now, what would you rather hear while you're with me? I Hear Music or Moonlight in Vermont?
Let's play Moonlight in Vermont, and then if you feel like playing I Hear Music at some point later, that'd be nice. So Moonlight in Vermont would be lovely, I think.
Okay, I think so too, because you know what? The visual is so fabulous for this time of year. Chuck Redd from The Common Thread, and already one of our guests in the chat room has said, okay, make sure you let us know how we can get a hold of that CD. We'll talk about that right after we hear the song on
Great.
Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Oh, you're going to enjoy this. bringing Moonlight in Vermont to life from the Common Thread. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I just said that. My mouth wasn't working. The Common Thread. Chuck Red. I'm thinking Red, Thread, Fred. Oh, my.
That's
Chuck,
all right.
That was lovely. Absolutely lovely.
Thanks.
And you have a way of making, you know, I told folks before you came on with me that listening to you was just such a throwback to what was so wonderful about an era gone by. But you have a way of bringing it into 2011, now 2012.
Right.
And you're going to have all of these folks, and I know that you've had in the past, but as people tend to expand their horizons and they get more involved in jazz, you're going to be the ones of those folks to do this because you really relish doing what is classic and what is classy, and people are hungering for that these days.
Well, I think so. I think, you know, I think good is good, and it will always be good. If you have a great composition, I think there are ways to deal with it endlessly. You can refine it, you can make it your own, and as you said, you can bring it right into the moment.
Yeah.
And all my favorite players did that. You know, they played tunes that were written probably a generation before them, and it didn't matter. They played them with freshness and spontaneity, and I heard people like Tommy Flanagan and Milt Jackson, I heard these people play sometimes 6 nights in a row, 7 nights in a row, and every night it was a little bit different, and they were growing, you know, always, you know, through the years. So I think you can constantly keep addressing all these, the Great American Songbook and tunes that are associated with the great composers, you know.
Well, tell me who, since I have had access to a couple of different resources, and I want you to tell me about the personnel on the Common Thread. Who was playing with you on that track? Because that was just beautiful. That chemistry was
sure. Wonderful.
The
saxophonist was the great Houston Person,
mm-hmm.
and he's a legendary saxophonist at this point.
Yeah.
And one of the few people left with this big, beautiful sound that is so reminiscent of a lot of tenor players from, you know, years gone by. And he still plays up a storm. I work with Houston usually a couple times a year on festivals and occasionally, you know, on a jazz cruise, things like that. Houston Person's tenor. The piano player is a young man. He's in his maybe in his 30s. His name is Rosano Sportiello. He's from Milan, Italy.
Wow.
Just moved to New York about 2 years ago, and he's really setting the town on fire. He's just a great, great piano player. And I first heard him about 5 or 6 years ago and was completely blown away with him. And we became friends, and we've worked some gigs together. I played drums on one of his recordings that he did for a Japanese label. That's Rosano Sportiello. And then the rhythm section is very special to me. Bob Cranshaw on bass and Mickey Roker on drums, one of the legendary rhythm sections in jazz. They worked with Dizzy Gillespie and Milt Jackson for many years, Sonny Rollins, everybody really, pretty much Ella Fitzgerald. They've both worked with everyone, and they've become two great friends, and they're kind of mentors to every younger musician that they encounter. And they're funny people and great people, and just the wisdom between just those two people alone, Bob Cranshaw and Mickey Roker, is just, you know, fathomless. I mean, it's endless, you know.
That's so nice to be able to have that mix of people, to have it gel like that, so that it's absolute ear candy to folks who
Thank
are
you.
Just craving that sound. And
yeah,
and
well, and I and the title, I think the title really kind of wraps up what's going on there, the Common Thread. We're all from different generations, you know, and but yet it all really works. We're all speaking the same language, and we all have a lot of the same musical values.
That's audibly, that is absolutely on target. I'm going to ask you one more question, then I'm going to let you go because I know you've got to do your thing.
Right.
Tell me what you're looking forward to in 2012. You have all of these gigs lined up and special cruises and festivals. What's really exciting you?
Well, one thing that's coming right up in early 2012, I'm doing a great jazz party that Arbor's Records puts together in Clearwater. This is just in January. I'm doing 4 days there, and then I'm doing a jazz cruise that leaves from Fort Lauderdale, and it's sponsored by Jazz Doggin, and that's all one word, Jazz Doggin. People could find them on the internet, and they sponsor wonderful jazz cruises, and this one goes from Fort Lauderdale to Central America. It's about a 10-day cruise, I believe.
Yeah.
Featuring all kinds of great artists. And then, before all that starts in January, I'm doing a recording up in New York City with Nate Najjar, who I know you spoke to about a month ago. Yeah, so we're doing a trio record up in New York at NOLA Studios with Nate. And then, a handful of festivals throughout the summer. Hopefully, probably a springtime gig of my own at Blues Alley in D.C., a trip to Portland, Oregon. I go to Portland about two or three times a year and play with some great musician friends out there that I love working with. All kinds of things coming up. A trip to Los Angeles, probably do a couple of dates in Los Angeles. And
you'll be playing with Bucky a few times, the great Bucky.
And I'll be playing with Bucky. We've got a concert in Philly, actually, in May. And then my good friend Nikki Perot, the great bassist and vocalist, we're trying to work out something to get her back to town. Hopefully she'll come back to Baltimore and to Washington. And I just finished a couple of concerts with her in New Jersey this past weekend. She's fantastic. So, and then hopefully maybe it looks like I'll be doing something else in the spring at Germano's in Baltimore. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, well, if all goes well, I will see you on Saturday at Germano's in Little Italy.
I sure hope so, Trish. Yeah, it would be great. It would be wonderful to meet you in person, and I hope many of your listeners come out on Saturday night.
Well, you know what? I'll make it a point to pass it along on my Facebook page because I'm not sure if you're there, but let me tell you something. It's a little bit tough to figure out how to juggle 5,000 friends on Facebook, but I'm going to let them know.
Right.
I'm going to let them
Facebook.
Know where you're going to be on Saturday, so people will look. Honestly, folks are coming into town in droves, friends and family, and they want something to do, and I think this is the perfect outing for everybody.
Yeah, well, we'll put them in the holiday spirit, I promise.
I know you will. Have fun tonight, and I look forward to seeing you and Robert on Saturday, Chuck Redd.
All right. Thanks a lot, Trish. Thanks for everything, and it's a pleasure talking to you.
Pleasure talking to you, too. God bless.
You, too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, let that man go and make some money, for heaven's sake. Phew. I don't know how these folks do it, I promise you. You know, when you are working, and I don't know how the folks who have the day jobs and then do the music do it either. But for folks who are doing music professionally and going pretty much 5 or 6 days of the week, maybe letting off on a Monday or something to ease up. But this man is going strong. He is in demand, and the website sure proves that. You're just going to be open-mouthed at what kind of dates are out there as far as his schedule is concerned. That itinerary gets planned very carefully, and for deals to be cemented, that means that somebody wants you really badly. So when you do such a great job on one given date in a certain year, it has to be etched in stone that the next year they're going to have the same kind of class act. That's who Chuck Redd is. And I'm going to give you a last song. Yeah, from the same CD. And by the way, I got my compilation here from Amazon. I go there a lot, and I know that there's CD Baby out there and CD Universe for other folks and Reverb Nation, but I have a little account with Amazon, and it's pretty much instantaneous. So you can certainly find different avenues for finding the common thread. And if you go to Chuck Redd, two D's in his name, chuckred.com. You'll find out where you can do your thing as far as purchasing this fabulous CD. I Hear Music is the track that we're going to hear from Hybrid Jazz. Yeah, from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy. Woo! Love this. Music from the Common Thread. You know, it's pretty wild when you get to say about yourself, yeah, I play drums, I'm a vibraphonist, and I'm also on the University of Maryland music faculty. Oh, so wild. I'm just going to give you a rundown. We're going to wrap things up a little early. That's kind of different, huh? Yeah. Just to give you a, I guess, the whole synopsis. From what I can remember, I can't see the calendar from here. I can pretty much memorize it. Next Tuesday, we're going to have Demetrius Neighbors, recommended by Lynn Roundtree. Demetrius and I have gotten to be pretty tight pretty quickly. I love it. You will love this man's music. We're also going to get to hear Jerry B. and Joyce Cooling. They're going to be on the same show, the 22nd. Should be a wonderful hybrid Christmas show. Then Dave McMurray, Maurice Johnson. We're going to get Tony Bunn and some more folks coming up in January that will spin your head. I am not kidding. It's just, the show is just booking itself. Hallelujah. I'm just so grateful for all the folks in the chat room today, all the folks who have visited, and all the folks who are going to continue to support, because there is some news on the horizon that you're going to hear that will make you go, really? What else is going on, Trish? There is a lot going on. God bless us, everyone, and we'll see you Tuesday on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you so much once again.